The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
If you want to pump your body and expand your mind, there's only one place to go. Mind Pump. Mind Pump. With your hosts, Sal DiStefano, Adam Schaefer, and Justin Andrews.
I want to ask Adam a couple questions.
Uh-oh.
Adam.
About my birthday?
Did you change... You know what, bro? You ruined my fucking bit. I was about to do a bit, and you just ruined it.
Oh, I did?
Yeah.
No,
I was going to say how you look more distinguished. You look more mature.
You got, like, glowing skin. And
I knew you were going that direction. That's how much I'm in your head, bro. I'm just like, why don't you just sometimes just look at me and I'll just answer.
What am I thinking right now?
Yeah. No, definitely not. I can't do that.
You know what? Yeah. I'll be honest. Like, we're starting to joke block each other. Do you guys feel that?
Yeah.
Like, joke block.
Yeah. Dude, you do it to me all the time, Sal.
Do I do that too?
Yeah, all the time. You know, I do it to you guys all the time. You know, it's just that we're reading each other's
minds.
Right?
No, just kidding.
We got to stop.
I know.
I just did it again.
I know you did that on purpose.
Happy birthday, Adam.
Thank you. Thank you.
Happy birthday, my
25,
friend.
25, man. I don't feel like that, though.
Huh?
Know? What?
You know, you look good, bro.
You look 55.
You look good. You know
it's
why
pretty
you look,
healthy.
You know why you look good?
Why is that?
I read somewhere that like 39 is a man's prime. Mm. And I know you turned 34, 35.
Correct.
Which
where,
one?
Where did 34. You read that?
You turned 34.
Yeah.
But you look 39, so you look like you hit your prime early. Congratulations. You did a good job. No, you don't
you
look
peaked.
You don't. You look right. Right at your age.
Just right at my age.
Just like that.
I don't think that's a compliment either.
You
why?
Peaked.
Because I don't, 34, I mean, I like to look about 25-ish, maybe 28-ish.
So I'm older than both you fuckers, but do I look older? If we put all three
absolutely.
Of us together.
Absolutely.
Do I really look older?
Yeah.
Do I, for real?
What, did you want a different answer?
Huh?
Yeah, what do you want to
hear? I don't know. I feel like I look like the same age as
are
you guys.
Are we supposed to build you up right now, or are we supposed to keep it real?
Is that what it was?
What am I, a year and a half older than you guys?
Well, hey.
Justin, how old are you exactly?
I'm almost 36. It's in January.
Oh, you're my fucking age, dude.
Yeah,
I'm 1 year older than you almost exactly.
If someone had to align us all four of us, including Doug up, and what they think is the youngest to oldest, I think Justin would look the youngest, then followed by myself or Doug, then followed you.
Really?
Yeah. You know why? Because
I think Doug actually falls in there with the
look. I dress like I'm still in high school.
Yeah.
That's probably why.
You do. So does Adam.
Yes. Yeah,
so if you
today I do especially.
I sound old. I've had a lot of people tell me that when they hear me talking, they'll be like,
really?
Oh, I thought you were much older.
You know, especially when you do the ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. When you, that's, you know, you do that.
I sound like I believe
right before you give like some good fact out, you go, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah.
Let me tell you this.
If I feel like I belong. If I didn't cuss so much, I would be like a guy on the radio
like
in the 1920s.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You know what I mean? It'd be like the 1920s type.
Dost thou agree?
Yeah. That's
Dost thou agree?
I think that's 1620s that you went back to.
I took it all the way back.
Yeah, you would have lived.
That's old.
You do like the Gothic English.
Yeah.
So
I got a tattoo like that.
What did you guys think about fucking Ronda Rousey getting her fucking face?
Oh, she got smashed.
Dude.
Woo.
You know, I'm a big fan.
Dude.
I love Ronda.
I'm
a big fan
of
Ronda.
Oh, my God.
Rousey.
That was a great fight. I love seeing that.
Here's my breakdown because I feel like I know more about fighting than you guys. So I'll give you my breakdown.
Oh, man. Good. Oh, thank you. Please.
I'll give you my breakdown.
Please, oh, knowledgeable one.
As soon as when the fight, like literally 30 seconds into the first round, Holmes was fighting. She was dictating the fight. She had the perfect game plan. And
oh, absolutely.
Who's she training with? Greg Jackson.
Yeah.
He's the fucking mastermind of strategy.
She
was, her strategy was excellent. She kept the distance, kept circling.
Is
she
it Swick that also fights in that camp?
I don't know if he's fighting
if he's with them.
No, he was at AKA.
Okay.
But they've got good strategists there too. But Greg Jackson's a genius. She kept circling to Ronda's right. And when Ronda tried to clinch, you'll notice Holly Holm, because I'm a judo guy, so I understand what you need to do a judo throw is you need your hips to be able to move and get in.
Right.
And what Holly Holmes would do is she would kind of overhook and put her hand in front of Rousey's hips to prevent her from getting her hips close so she wouldn't get thrown. She'd break a free.
Separation,
and she
circle.
Just kept, that's it. And what happens is Rousey, she just kept walking forward. And so the game plan was bad. And you could tell, look, you should not stand and bang with the freaking boxer.
No, no.
That's a bad choice.
So do you want
world-class boxer.
So world-class boxer. And Rousey's a good with her hands, but she's a world-class grappler. Yeah.
But she she wasn't just boxing. She was setting up her kicks.
Yeah.
And she was throwing those oblique kicks, which was winding her. And so you could just see her wincing.
Well, dude, apparently Rousey had her jaw was broken in three places.
Yeah.
Now, it could have been from the kick, but
I think it was before that.
I thought it was before because did you notice she was following Holmes around and she kind of had her mouth open with blood coming out?
And her face was swollen.
And she looked gassed, but I think it was because her jaw, because when you get your jaw broken, you can't breathe. You have to have your mouth open and shit. Or nose broken, but it looked like her jaw.
So, did you guys get a chance to meet Robbie on Saturday?
No.
So Robbie was the black guy with the big afro that was at the party.
Mm-hmm.
That's Cain Velasquez's best friend and trainer.
Oh shit.
So wait a minute. He was commenting quite a bit.
Yeah, that's why I was going to share with you, kind of debunk what your theory was on that.
Oh, really?
Not debunk. I agree with you. I think that Holmes came out with a great strategy. I think the hip kicks to keep her distance, the way she was circling and jabbing.
That's right. She kept jabbing with her foot, too.
I watched the fight again this morning, and within the first 15 seconds, she catches her with a nice stiff jab.
Dude,
and then she hits her with
She
landed two hard ones really early that you could tell shook up Ronda.
Right.
So, kudos to her training camp and everything like that. I don't want to take anything from her from that at all. But one of the things that Robbie was talking about was I overheard him say, like, dude, as much as, Holly's world class, everything like that, there's a ton more fighters, far more talented, not only boxing than her, the also MMA fighters. The fact that Ronda should have destroyed her. Ronda should have, just like the Vegas odds were and what they were supposed to be, something wasn't right. And that was, that was in her.
He's smelling a fish. Huh?
Yeah. He says that, I don't know if that has something to do with the way she fell, her training program. Do you guys know also, too, that was the first fight ever that her mother refused to go to didn't go to? I don't know if she refused to. She didn't show up.
Because there was a problem between her mom and her trainer.
Right. Yeah. She didn't like the trainer and her training. So
the plot thickens.
Yeah. So I think there's a little more going on than what I think the meets the eye. There.
Well, we'll see the rematch.
And I don't think it was
If Ronda if she had a game plan to, and she did, if she got a good way of getting in and taking her down, she would have destroyed her on the ground.
That's how I feel like. No matter how you cut it up and look at it, she most certainly should have imposed her will. And I know she had a hard time, but you've seen her bull rush before and just take.
Right.
She didn't do that.
She didn't do that.
Why didn't she do that from the gate?
Was after she, remember when she missed and woofed and fell over her knee?
Oh my God. Holmes made her look.
Yeah, but that was way too late, right? She had already been her ass kind of kicked a little bit for a while. And then she kind of got desperate. And then she went that route where she should have came out and just mauled her. Well, she should have went after her, football tackled her from the very
beginning. Well, I'm still a big fan of Rousey. She's one of my favorite fighters. She's going to be out for like a year.
Yeah. No, that was actually a made up rumor.
She's not going to be out for a year.
No, I researched your article after you sent that. That was a rumor that got spread. She did not break her jaw.
Oh, the whole jaw thing wasn't true?
No, it was not.
You should have corrected me like 10 minutes ago.
I didn't know. You said it. You said it earlier.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. Yeah. So that's when you talk sometimes it just kind of
you just don't.
You really said broken jaw when I said something to
you.
Sorry.
Yeah. You know what, dude?
Here's the problem. We read things and we believe it.
Whoops. You just don't listen. You just don't listen to me.
Yeah. Yeah. But you know what? That's what people could always
So get. She didn't get her jaw broken?
No, she did not get her jaw broken.
Bro, we talked about her jaw being broken.
Listen, I was right there with you, dude. I completely bought
me
into
me and
that.
Justin talked Damn about it for like a minute. What were you doing?
Oh, well, I was letting you talk and knowing that I was going
and
to
thinking about shit.
No,
about
no.
Meals.
No, I was thinking that I got a chance.
Silly right now.
I got a chance to listen to Robbie's take on it, and I'm listening to yours, and I'm like, he probably has a better perspective than any of us.
Of course he does.
The whole time I'm talking, this is Adam. This is Adam. He's like, I've had meal five. I have meal six. He's like, God damn, I'm sexy. I wish there was a. Yeah. He's just sitting there. He's like, then he looks down. He's like, oh, Sal's got white socks on again. And then it's quiet, and then he knows he's supposed
timing.
To talk.
I haven't talked for like maybe 30 seconds. Yeah. Long time. Okay.
So I think we're supposed to make a phone call, right, Doug? We have a winner. What's going on here? What is this?
Yeah, we do have a winner of the Instagram contest.
Winner, winner.
JP Fit Guy.
Get on my pump.
What does J stand for JP?
Jason.
Jason.
So I'm going to give Jason a call.
Call him up.
Hello?
This is the Mind Pump crew.
I don't believe it. My fitness truth idols.
Get out of here.
You can hear us better now?
Yeah, it's still like you're in the background.
It could be because we're recording from a bathroom. That might be it.
Yeah. Yeah, we're all getting real friendly in here.
We got evicted from the studio because Sal, the lady from next door, overheard him talking about her fucking beard.
And no shit.
Got offended and turned us in, so now we're recording from a bathroom. So that could be the echo.
Oh, man.
Holy shit, that's crazy.
So, my man, so let's see. Your Instagram name is JP Fit Guy. So if people want to come check you out,
One Fit Guy.
Well, JP One Fit Guy.
That just means I'm just one fit guy in the world. And it's not like I'm trying to brag. Hey, I'm a fit guy. Just one fit guy in the world of many. That's what I mean.
So I want to know real quick. I got to hear your. I know you're a police officer, but where did your passion for fitness come from? I mean, where did you start lifting and stuff like that? Obviously, you have an
experience. Oh man, it was just kind of like how y'all went through it, man. Just from starting in high school, you just never stopped. And then when I joined the police department, 18 years ago, I put on like 10 pounds because it's the most sedentary job I've ever had, you know. As far as movement, because like I got to do something about this.
Yeah, because you're pretty ripped now. You're like super veiny ripped.
Oh yeah, yeah. Now I made a. I go along. I'm always the smallest guy in the group. You know, it's like okay, that's cool, but I'm going to be the most ripped in the group. I decided that there long ago. So okay.
Hey, so 18 years, shit, man. You look like you look young. When did you start becoming a police officer? When you were 10?
10 years old, yep. That's how you do it down here.
I knew it.
We appreciate all the awesome memes that you make of our about Mind Pump and Pulse.
Yeah, they're always hilarious, man. Fuck you. You do a great job.
I try to do the show justice.
I love it, brother.
You definitely do.
How'd you find our show?
Dude, I found you first. I found Sal. I didn't think Sal was real. I said, "What the fuck? Who the fuck is this guy? He ain't real." I just kept going, but I went back to him.
That's how I felt when I met him too.
I started reading.
What attracted you to him?
Why didn't you think I was real?
The picture, of course. I mean, he's jacked. Yeah, he had all his information. I was like, "What's this guy showing?"
Yeah, right. And all the filters, right? It's pretty deceiving.
It's very, very in-depth, hey, those filters, yeah.
You know, I didn't think he was real, and still, I kept going back to him and say, oh, this dude's fucking legit, giving me good information. So, and then that was right before the show started. Y'all probably already taped, but you haven't released anything yet. And so y'all started to, came out with the show. I was like, fuck, this is great. So I was like, I want to spread the word. It's social media, man. It's so easy to do.
Yeah, you're like our OG Mind Pump head out here, man.
That's what's cool.
Hey,
when we think of a handful, you're one of them for sure.
I put a little effort into it,
Which we appreciate.
Just to make it good. Just, I know some of it is stupid, but I just want to get somebody's eye, make somebody look at it and say, hey, I got to check this out.
Oh no, we've definitely had a lot of people that have told us that they've found Mind Pump through your page. So we greatly appreciate the love for sure, bro.
Okay. Well, that was the purpose.
All right, brother. Well, hey, man. Thanks for listening to the show. Also, thanks for your service as a police officer, keeping us safe, man.
Hey.
Yeah.
I do what I can. It's an impossible job, but, I can get in all that. But, hey, y'all keep doing what y'all do, man.
All right, JP. Much love, dude. And
all right, man. Bye,
man.
Well, this episode should drop next week sometime, so we'll let you know when it drops in.
Hey, appreciate it, guys.
All right, brother.
Take it easy.
All right.
Thanks a lot.
Bye.
Bro, I didn't know we could call Mars because it sounded like we were talking to Mars. Like, we're the worst. I've heard videos of NASA talking to fucking astronauts from the space station twice as clear. How did that happen?
That's Skype for it. No, that's not Skype.
No, it's his phone.
AT&T.
Skype was worse.
Well, when you guys called me, I thought that was really clear. When you guys called me in Vegas.
Yeah, you sounded good.
Were you guys using Doug's phone then too, or is it a different phone, Doug?
Same technology.
Same technology.
Yeah. That's crazy. Yeah. That's weird.
Yeah, same tech.
Well, maybe if you get rid of your iPhone too, we won't have this problem anymore.
Isn't that the first iPhone invented?
Hey, that's a Motorola brick phone.
You could kill people with that. So, Adam, did you want to go into that that article that I posted today?
Oh, yeah. So
that T-Nation article?
The flip phone.
So, yeah. So, let's kick this off like this. So, somebody, a lot of times, by the way, too, the other post was awesome. The forum's so great, man. I love the community, and I love
shared like-minded individuals.
Yeah, no, it's badass. Yeah. Honestly, those that are not those are listeners right now. That's kind of like the next step of like Mind Pump 24/7 is to be able to get access to the forum and talk and share with everybody, because it's a lot of great information. So, anyways, other than the recipe I'm thinking about right now that I saw on there that was awesome, there was also a post on T Nation from T Nation, and it was about how to measure your strength, right?
Yeah, do you are you strong?
Yeah.
And it's written, the gentleman who wrote it, I believe, is a strength coach. So this is based off of his own personal opinion. Mm. And so he put out these standards of strength. And I don't know, what do you guys think about them?
I actually...
Well, describe them, please, because I didn't get a chance to read the article.
Why don't you read the portion where he describes what he classifies good, what he classifies as great, and what he classifies...
Right, so the categories he starts with is decent, which he says basically is not bad. This is a level of strength that the person can, you know, works out to get focus on strength, and we'll maybe get to in maybe 6 months to a year type of deal.
And maybe even some people who are naturally that strong could achieve that.
Could achieve just on their own, just because they're just really strong people.
So that would be decent strength.
Then you have good, which is where most people can get to with years of hard training. And then there's great, which not everybody can get to. There's a level of, you know, genetic gift that you need to have to get to that level.
Yeah.
So you have decent, good, and great. And for men, I'll go over some of the numbers, right? So he has a total number, but he also has a percentage of body weight. So if you're, you know, a small guy, then you might not want to go with the total number. You go with the percentage of body weight. But to give an example, for the squat, a decent number would be 315. Good number would be 405, and a great number would be 455, or 1.5 times body weight for decent, 2 times body weight for good, 2.5 times body weight for great. So I don't know. What do you guys think about that number there?
Hmm. I think it's I thought it was very, very good. I liked how he describes decent, good, and great.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Most of these things that you see, they just kind of say good, you know, good, excellent, or whatever like that. But because he gives a description of what he's describing that range in, I think that is a perfect classification of that. Because when I read the weights, and I looked at Katrina and I were looking at these together, so I was showing her where she would fall in all these categories for female and male. Yeah. I'm like, hey, you know, this. Yeah.
You can visually see that too. Yeah. It looks very logical, you know, as far as like progressions, even personally in the gym, like what you see yourself accomplish. And those numbers sound, you know, pretty.
Well, he lists squat, bench press, deadlift, then the military press, and then he does bent over row, push ups, dips, pull ups, all that stuff. So I don't know. So great for squats, 455. Have you guys ever squatted 455?
No.
You never had? You did 405 recently.
Yeah, yeah.
And Justin, I know he has
because
his ass is massive. But... I've actually done 500 was the most I've ever squatted in my life. But I weighed 230 and I wasn't lean at all.
So
I was pretty heavy.
You brought up the weight.
Horse.
You brought up the weight ratio thing. This is where I was going to kind of challenge you a little bit on this.
Right.
I noticed you post that that person responded, "Hey Sal, what did you think?" Because everybody asked Sal the technical questions, right? Yeah. Sal, what is your take on these numbers?
I like your herpes.
Yeah, yeah. Does this seem accurate to you? And you said, "Well, I think that, you know, it should include the weight ratio." And you know, I kind of have a disagreement on that, because there's other things that come into play. Like when the formula for, like, if we're talking about physics and when you talk about power and moving something, distance and time come into play, and you would need that as a multiplier also, because somebody who is 200 pounds and they're 6'3" and somebody who's 200 pounds at 5'3" have total different leverage advantages on squatting, deadlifting, and bench pressing.
Of course.
So,
but the tall guy is going to have an advantage with the deadlift.
He is.
So one of those lifts, the rest are you're at a disadvantage.
Yeah, you're gonna be horrible at bench.
Yeah, you're gonna be the worst at bench. You're gonna be worse at overhead press. You're gonna be the worst at squatting. Everything else, single else except you. Only thing you have a.
That's why you're so I mean, I could see that in your lifts already. Just the way that you're.
Well, which is why that's the only thing I am great in, is, other than like all that. I passed a lot in the auxiliary stuff, but. Is my deadlift. Everything else, my bench and my squat are on the upper end of good.
Yeah.
But anyways, that was my point, was that, you know, weight does matter and it doesn't matter to me, because, you know, a 230 pound Sal versus a 205 Sal, I think it's a good way to gauge yourself. But you can't, a 200 pound guy can't compare himself to another 200 pound guy.
That's it.
200 pound guy, because I
was
built.
Yeah, because I was what did I end up getting? I was up to like 240 when I was playing college ball, and that's when I was lifting massive weight. Mm. But that's because I had I was super massive, mm-hmm. and I was immobile on certain movements, and you know, it's all relative, because putting on extra mass, fuck yeah, it helped.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, this is, are you strong for these exercises? Mm-hmm. Not are you a strong person? Because if, let's say you hit the max on all these things, does that necessarily make you a strong person? In what context? In the gym? Yeah, you're a strong person.
Yeah.
As a wrestler, would you be a strong person? Maybe not. I've wrestled guys who I could lift twice as much as, and even though, forget technique, they're just strong fuckers. Like, they'll grab you,
yeah.
and you just feel their strength.
Well, then what's the definition of strength?
It's tough.
It's different because, yeah.
It's different. It depends on the context.
You're talking about it more from a grip perspective, right?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I don't know. Like, you know.
I mean, if you were going to, there is a mathematical equation for this.
There should be, but like, there's so many factors.
Well,
that's,
and then, and each thing that we would talk about, you would talk about different variables.
Yeah.
And that's where you would do different formulas. So if you're going to use something where you have to travel over distance, you have to take an account for that, because you have to go over amount of distance. That's why. So let's use my squat and deadlift, and Justin's squat and deadlift, and compare the two. We're probably relatively the same when it comes to our strength, because even though both those lifts we're opposite on. So for example, he out squats me. Well, I could argue with you that, you know, what it takes for me to go down with 405 pounds as deep as I go and as tall as I am, that takes a lot of fucking strength, because of how much I got to move.
More time under tension.
Yes,
yeah, like
yes.
More load, yeah.
And then the same thing goes for him for his deadlift. So his deadlift, when he deadlifts only maybe 495 and I'm deadlifting 545, yeah, so I have a better advantage because of lever reasons. But yet he's at a disadvantage. So technically he's as strong or stronger than I am in that lift. So that's why if people are going to start getting into weight and breaking that down, I feel like you have to.
But at the end of the day, it doesn't matter. Like at the end of the day,
no, it does.
It's all about
it doesn't.
What can you do? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I think that's why I like the power lifts, how they have it. Like, so you have to test out on each one of those, because it does differ quite a bit.
You good at one usually makes you like
right.
really really good benchers are usually bad deadlifters.
Yeah, yeah.
Because of the short arms but you know what though? He does list on this article, he does list body weight stuff. Like for push-ups, 90.
Yeah.
90 push-ups. For dips, 60. For pull-ups, 30. So there's some different stuff there, because
pull-ups.
I know guys that could hammer the weights when it comes to the deadlift and all that stuff, but they can't do those types of things.
Yeah, which
like,
is...
Like, have you guys ever done 30 pull-ups in a row?
Yeah, I can.
I've done probably 20. That's
the most I've ever done was 30 ever. Yeah. And that's like my max.
Yeah. So I doubt I could do that right now because of my issue with my forearm, but I most certainly can do that. Same thing with dips, push-ups for sure. I could bust out 100 push-ups. So there's definitely those I did really well. You know what's funny? My girl kicked my ass in most all these categories.
Oh, because they have the female category.
Oh yeah, she was great in everything. Her squat, her deadlift, her bench, like everything she was great on. I'm like, what the fuck? Yeah. I barely got you into strength
training.
But
like, strength. The other thing about strength
so
too.
So easy.
One thing that we also need to say about strength is also a skill. And what do I mean by that? It's how you apply your strength. Like if I could be this champion power lifter with lots of strength in the gym, and I could go to a farm and start throwing, you know, hay bales everywhere with a farmer who's been doing it for his whole life, he's probably going to kick my ass because his skill level with doing that particular technique is much better.
Well, he's figured out all the little nuances that
his body just moves
efficient.
Super efficient with it.
Well, that's why it's really tough to identify, what defines strength, when it has to be, you know, you have to give a specific example and then you have to like show, okay. You're talking about levers, you're talking about, you know, near muscular activation, like, you know, how much you can control.
But skill too, right?
Like, yeah. Let's talk about like rock climbing, right? For instance, like think about how much near muscular control and activation, like they can actually recruit in they can get so many muscles involved into like the tip of their finger,
right?
So they can hang, you know, and basically apply all of their emphasis into this one part of their body.
That's what I mean.
It takes an insane amount of control and isolated strength.
Exactly. Look, if you were to lift, if there was a huge boulder that we needed to lift, an engineer could use pulleys and do it by himself, whereas it would take five of me to lift it in the air because of technique, right? Mm. Strength, a lot of it is skill. And I don't mean like extreme technique, although that does come into play with a lot of things. I mean just doing something over and over again, you just get really good at it. Well, and it's just one of those things, you know, and so it's hard to say, are you a strong guy? Because like I said, I know a lot of guys I can outlift who, and other things, are just stronger than me by far.
Why don't we just say, like, who are you most impressed by strength? Like, what would you identify, like, maybe like two or three people, like types of people, like that you just look at and you revere?
If you know what, I'm impressed by all athletic feats, even endurance feats, watching people do like 100-mile runs and stuff like that. I'm impressed by all of it because it takes it's a level of specialty that required lots of training and, you know, a roll of the dice with, you know, amazing genes. You know, there's that one Greek guy, Karnassus, I think his name is, who runs, he ran a marathon every day for like a year. And the guy routinely does 100-mile runs. And, I mean, just blows me away. All that stuff blows. It all impresses the shit out of me. Strongman competitions impress
the
shit out
of me. Right, I was going to say strongman competitions. Yeah. But then also, like, Olympic gymnasts on the rings. Like, that, I watch that in pure awe because of how much movement, how complex the movement is, how fluid it is, you know, how much control they have over their body. So none of it looks... they don't have a loose part of their body. Like, everything is fired at once, and it's super fluid movement. It's like
you want to talk about pound for pound strength.
A spectacle, because like it takes their whole life to get to that point. You know, that's why it's like it's just silly to me that you try and do that.
You know, you guys should look up Alexander Karelin. He was a champion wrestler for the Soviet Union. He went undefeated for years. Used to dominate people. They called him the Russian Bear. Watch his Greco-Roman wrestling matches. You want to talk about like freakish strength? He was he would compete in the super heavyweight category. So he would routinely wrestle guys that were close to 300 pounds or more. These guys would flatten out on the floor, flatten out, like arms spread, legs spread, so that Alexander couldn't like lift them and turn them over to get points. He would fucking, while he was on the ground with them, he'd hook his hands and he'd stand up one leg at a time, lift these guys up and flip them in the air and then do it again. I mean, ridiculous, like monkey strength. Doesn't make any sense. That was impressive.
That is
crazy. You gotta look that guy up.
I like Lane Norton, man. Lane Norton of our time, he impresses the shit out of me.
Yeah, he's got crazy strength.
On top of being a great businessman and
a smart guy.
Yeah, very smart dude. Like, I love watching him because when I look at him, and not to take anything away from the guys you guys are talking about or anything like that, but those guys, like I feel like you see something, even like what Justin was talking about, the rings, they look like they were just built for that, and they're these specimens, right? Like that guy was born to fucking do that, and nobody
genetic,
there's a genetic
disposition.
When I look at Lane Norton, and he looks like he's an average guy who has literally put the science to the test. He looks to me like if you saw him walking down the street in a regular in a medium or a large t-shirt, you wouldn't even know who the fuck he is.
Yeah.
But the dude is one of the strongest pound for pound guys that we know, and he's gotten there through applied science, which that to me is cool as fuck. I think that's
cool. Know what? There's a lot of guys like that though that look like
a regular person, like, and they're strong as
ridiculous
fuck.
Ridiculous strong.
Yeah.
It's rare, but let me ask you guys this. Here's a good question. Here's a nice little hypothetical. What would you rather have? Would you rather be able to add 15 pounds of muscle on your body but get weaker? Or would you rather lose, let's say, 10 or 15 pounds of muscle but double your strength?
What?
Well, I mean,
like, would you rather be smaller but be way stronger, like, or be way bigger but be weaker?
I mean, do I lose some fat if you gotta go know down the other way
I think it's obvious where that we all go on that, because I'm definitely the guy who I always have, that's my motto is, I just want to be the guy who takes his shirt off and looks like he can run fast. I don't actually have to run fast.
I don't know. My strength increases, like, but you're saying that your strength's basically going to stay the same if I drop 15 pounds?
No.
He's saying increase.
If you get way stronger, but you got to be a lot smaller.
You got to be smaller.
I'll do that.
All day, right?
Yeah.
Me too.
Yeah, see, not me.
I love that shit. Oh, I love going in there and just like people looking at me.
Yeah, I like being understated.
I was the little guy my whole life that was strong. That's how I felt. Yeah. I felt like I was the little strong guy forever. You know, like it took me forever and half my life to get big, and that's so for me. I'd sacrifice, because it goes back to what I've always said too. I've never once in my life taken my shirt off in the bedroom with a girl and she goes, "Oh my God, how much do you bench press?"
Yeah.
You know, oh my God. And you know, and then I say that and then people go, "Oh, he's so superficial."
Yeah, but you like to break people's arms. Yeah. That's where I'm coming from.
Well, yeah, but you'll be in the bedroom naked with a girl a lot more times than you'll break someone's arm.
True.
Or even half.
Then you'll be like having sex with her, and she'll be like, "Oh my
god, you're doing it."
She'll be like, "Lift me in the air," and you'll be like, "I can't. I'm not that strong."
And you know, and I want to make it clear that when I say that too, Sal gave a very good analogy, because you didn't say that I would be some pussy. I don't have, because I wouldn't want to be 15 pounds bigger and be like a pussy. I can't even out, like I can't lift even close to what I am now.
No, just
but if I took a decrease, which would still be, I would still be stronger than the average guy out there. I just got to be 15 pounds smaller. But stronger, like I would still rather be 15 pounds bigger, and you know,
you want you want the Ferrari, with the little bit of a smaller engine, like a six cylinder, four cylinder.
Well, no, I want the Ferrari, and you want the Honda Civic, but it can beat me in the quarter mile,
boosted.
You
that's
want it,
right.
You want it pushing, you know, 700 horses.
Well, people are like, look at that piece of shit car,
and it blows by my Ferrari,
and then. Pfft, shit, he just crushed me.
Yeah, because we both know where the chick, what car she climbs in when the race is over, right?
Yeah. I'm not trying to attract chicks.
Either am I. It's the point, though.
I'm trying to impress men. Wait a minute. Shit, I got that mixed up there a little bit.
Yeah. That was a good one, though. I like that. But so I back to the whole judging the strength thing. I just think that if someone is going to get caught up on it, the best indicator, I think, and I wish that I would have done this, that when I started lifting, I wish I would have followed a program like MAPS that was the core lifts, bench press, squat, deadlift, overhead press type movements. And I wish I would have seen exactly what my strength was the first week I walked in, you know, first couple weeks I walked in the gym. And then I forever can use that as my benchmark.
And I got so distracted with all this.
Yes. Shit. Because had I done that, I could see where I was then. And of course, I know how much I've changed, but it would be, or not how much I've changed. I can see there's a huge difference from where I was now and where I was when I was 17 years old when I started to pick up weights. But boy, would I love to actually really be able to break that down mathematically.
Well, to be honest, this is why I love sports so much. I know we don't talk about this very much, but the strength that is, that I have worked on so hard in the gym, I want to see it put to use. I want to see my muscles fire when I want them to, as fast as I want them to. You know, I want them to lift something fucking heavy when I want them to. That's what I want. I want to see them in action. I could give a shit about, like, you know, puffing myself up and getting a pump and all this kind of stuff. Mm.
I want to see you in action.
I just want to, you know.
Well, I totally feel where you come from on that, too, though, because I have such a bitter taste in my mouth that I played sports my entire life, and it pains me to have the knowledge I have now and to not have had it then, and to think
I miss sports, dude.
Oh, man. I mean, I was just an athlete. I liked to play. I was decent. I could pick up a ball, and I could play anything. I wasn't the best at everything. I was good. I was good at everything I did. You know, I wasn't great. It's the same way I probably lift. I'm not the great on everything. I'm pretty damn good at everything. But I never trained. You know, I never dieted. I never, you know, trained my body to be that way. Sure, our coaches had us do some bullshit, but nothing effective like how we would train the body now. I mean, God, I wish.
I know, it's like such a waste, like all this knowledge that came after I was done playing.
I wish I could have applied that to see where I could have taken my body and been able to see that transfer onto the field. I mean, how awesome that would be.
Right. I guess now, too, it's like, you know, as you get more knowledge, like you want to give it back. And I think that's why this all makes sense. You know, what we've been doing and working on, I feel like a coach, you know, I like the way that I am with my clients, like, and I know some people call themselves coaches who are trainers, but at some point I would like to organize, you know, an entire team's workouts and like see what happens on a larger scale. And that's something, you know, I could see myself working on. And
that sounds cool.
You know, and developing that. But
well, you know, that all being said, if you're an athlete and you're working out in the gym, there's going to be some very specific movements you should do depending on what sport you're doing.
Right.
But
there'll be a general.
But I will say, and I know you guys will back me up.
Okay.
The traditional exercises that have the most carryover to any sport are your basic movements. You need to be able to push something off the ground, like a squat. You need to be able to lift something heavy off the ground, like a deadlift. And you should be able to push something off your chest and push something in the air. Yeah. If you could do those things very well, those have a lot of carryover into pretty much any sport I can think of. In other words, if you gain 50, you know, if you go up 10% in those exercises, you're going to see a notable difference in your sport versus seeing a 10% increase right. in, say, a leg press or a 10% increase in a barbell curl or a tricep kickback. Those aren't going to translate.
What you're saying is you want to see, you know, your body like work like harmonious, like all at once, like it's synergistic. So, mm-hmm. so what these compound lifts provide that. So it provides a exercise that you have to focus on using your entire body. So the more effective you are at using your entire body as a whole, the more effective you're going to be in any movement. And so, I mean, as just a general statement, if I'm stronger and I'm working on my upper body, but my lower body is stabilizing the load and the weight at the same time.
Oh, good point.
You know, like that's all, it's all harmonious. If you think about marching, if you think about running, if the more I can get my upper body involved with that, you know, the more power and the more ground forces I'm going to create because I'm stronger in that movement.
Well, good point. And I would say for athletes training in the gym, you should do as many exercises or every exercise standing.
Yes.
You should do very little no exercises.
I don't ever
seated because really. In your sport, you're going to be on your feet. You're going to be standing. You're going to be supporting yourself. I can't tell you how many people that I know personally and that I see in the gym who will military press X amount of weight seated, they could not press that standing.
Mm-hmm.
And that doesn't translate well to sports. To be able to military press with a barbell seated versus being able to do it standing, it's not going to translate well. And whichever one you train in, you'll get better at. I can press overhead standing more than I can seated because I train standing all the time.
I'm just like you.
Are you the same way?
Yep.
Yeah. And so that's going to translate better to, and I did that on purpose. I did that years ago. I used to always do seated shoulder press. And years ago, I said to myself, you know, when am I ever going to be pushing anything while I'm sitting down? I need to be able to do standing and support it. And I had to drop way down on my weight and get, you know, better at it. And now I can press more, you know, standing. And Olympic lifters, for sure. You give an Olympic lifter, you tell them to do a strict military press standing, they'll press, you know, 30% more than they will, you know, seated in a machine.
I agree. If I have to be in a seated position too, though, one key thing for me is I'm still driving my legs into the ground. So I'm still getting engagement with my legs, you know. So it's not like I'm not splitting body part up, right? I'm still involved.
There's something we've touched upon this before. You just brought up an excellent point in that activating the central nervous system, it works better when it's all activated. If you're looking for maximal strength and power, than if you were to activate some of it and try to maximize a particular aspect. So let me explain. If I'm doing a bench press and I'm, you know, pushing as hard as I can with my upper body, but my legs and my lower body are relatively relaxed, I'm not going to be as strong as if I tense up and drive through with my legs.
Right.
When I press the bar, even though my legs have zero to do with lifting the bar off my chest, because I'm activating the central nervous system, I get more power. So here's a little experiment you can do to yourself to see what I'm talking about. If you have a hand gripper or something at home, squeeze it as hard as you can, or a tennis ball or whatever. Squeeze it as hard as you can with one hand, but relax the rest of your body, including your face, and just squeeze it as hard as you can. Then try it again, but go ahead and tense up your entire body, including your face.
you'll see how much more you're crushing it.
How much stronger you are, because the central nervous system fires stronger and better that way.
Well, it's the same analogy too that I was trying to provide with the rock climbing. If they're not tense overall with their entire body when they're going into, you know, the next part of, you know, the piece they're grabbing after, if they're at all passive in the movement, then, you know, it provides, you know, that becomes dead weight. It's not going to be a contributing force. You're not going to be as strong as you would if I'm contracted all the way up into that.
Well, a lot of it, so this is what, you know, kind of what it boils down to. There are protection mechanisms in your body naturally that prevent maximal power output because it's protecting you from muscle tears and strains. Okay. So if you take someone off the street and have them max themselves out, they'll be able to recruit. They'll be able to maybe get 30% of their maximum strength. They haven't trained their body to be able to get more out of their body. And this is why when you take a beginner and you have them work out,
they progress so fast.
Really fast. Like within 1 week, I'll have a client within 1 week add 50 pounds to a cable row. Literally, 20 to 50 pounds on a cable row right off the bat. And it's because you're teaching your body that it's okay to lift with more power. Now, sometimes this happens naturally in extreme situations like, your car's on fire, you're pinned underneath your seat, you need to get the fuck out. Your body will override some of that. But most of the time you can't. So a lot of training is learning how to recruit your muscles and maximize your output. And somebody who's really, really well trained, who practices that, can get like 90% of their strength out or more with their lift. And a lot of my strength is that. A lot of guys, people will see me lift, especially in the deadlift, and they'll be like, how can you lift that? I always train what they call on the nerve. Mm-hmm. I constantly am testing myself in that way, and I cycle it in regularly into my training where I'm able to recruit as much strength as my body will be able to produce with that particular lift without fear of, my body's not scared it's going to hurt itself. Mm-hmm. And so that's an important aspect of strength also. And that's, and that's why training in that particular fashion.
It's like turning that governor off. I mean, you have to get past that point, in the process of lifting. And that's why frequency is so important. It's because we're trying to keep at
practice
the movement. So now you're telling your body you're not going to die. Right. And you keep going along that trajectory and it's going to bypass that governing system that was in place.
Yeah. Some coaches call it training on the nerve. I'll give you an example. Let's say my max deadlift is 575. Then I'll always deadlift 500 pounds every workout. I'm going to do a couple of sets with 500 pounds. It's not my max, but I'm always getting heavy and just maximizing that fire, and then I'll go on to my regular sets. And that's what that basically means. And you'll notice that your lifts will go up as you continue to do that. And then the frequency aspect, practice. Yep. And you're able to generate that much more power. Does that build muscle? If you combine it with traditional hypertrophy training, yes, definitely. You'll build more muscle. If that's all you do, then you won't build as much muscle as if you did hypertrophy training. But you'll get strong as shit.
Right.
And you'll feel really fucking hard.
Right.
I've had clients add 5 pounds to a lift. No joke. They'll add 5 pounds to a lift in the same workout because I tell them to squeeze the bar as hard as they can. That's it. Yep. Like, okay, I know you're going to press this, but now that we're, I'm going to put 5 pounds on, and I know that was your max last time, but this time before you push it, I want you to squeeze the shit out of the bar. Yep. And then boom, five more pounds goes up. Just something silly like that. I find myself doing that all the time.
I've been experimenting with that a bit. I'm going to expose a little bit of those techniques with the MAPS Athletics.
Tell them what's going
on. I'll go ahead and unveil that here at some point when it's ready.
We got secret stuff coming out. And with that, please subscribe to Mind Pump. Give us a good rating and review.
Yeah.
Thank you for listening to Mind Pump. For more information about this show and to get valuable free resources from Sal, Adam, and Justin, visit us at www.mindpumpradio.com. Until next time, this is Mind Pump.